Okay, if you could assemble back to the seats, we can begin. Thank you very much. This is a great night. It's nice to see our Teach awardees here. And I wanted to wish everyone a good evening. And this is the regular meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, March 1st. The board did meet in closed session. Actually, we had two public comments prior to closed session. And the board did meet in closed session to discuss confidential official correspondence. The Board of Education met in closed session and decided by a vote of 6-0 to impose formal discipline on employee number 301309 as recommended by staff. And we did have a conference with our labor negotiators, and we discussed labor negotiations with the California School Employees Association, CSEA, San Luis Coastal Teachers Association, and the Service Employees International Union. Do we have a consensus on the order of business? Mr. Buckman, is there any discussion on that one? Okay, seeing none, all in favor? Aye. Carries 6-0. The next is the special board meeting we had on February 7th. Would anybody like to make a motion on the meeting of February 7th?
I'll move approval of the minutes of February 7th.
Okay, we have a motion and...
I will second it.
Second motion by Mrs. Rogers, a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Is there any discussion on February 7th? And seeing none, let's take a vote. All in favor? Aye. Carries 6-0. The special board meeting of February 15th. Would someone like to make a motion on that one? Mrs. Sheffer. We have a motion to accept the minutes of the first meeting of February 15th. Do I have a second on that? Seconded by Mr. Angel. I was not at that meeting, so I'm going to abstain from that. All in favor? All opposed, abstain, one abstention, carries 5-0. The next meeting, the special board meeting on February 15th. Is there any motion by Mr. Buckman?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mrs. Roger. Is there any discussion? Good stuff, that works. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, carries 6-0. And then we have one more, February 22nd. Would someone like to make a motion on that one? We have a motion by Mr. Angel.
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Quisenberry. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Carries 6-0. Let's move on with our presentations. And let's see, I think we'll go with Julie to start. Are you ready? Okay.
Alrighty. So, hi everybody, I'm Julie Hausman, student representative from San Luis Obispo High School. On our updates, we have Winter Formal was held at Camp San Luis at the Officers Club on February 5th. We had over 500 students attend. The theme was Candyland, and it was very successful. Upcoming Dance Spring Fling is going to be held in the new gym at SLO High. Grade students at our high school, and we have student representatives from SLO High take groups of them around the school and tour the school. They're going to be incoming freshmen next year, and we had over 350 eighth graders at our school today, so it was a little bit overpopulated. Next, I've got at the recent Skills USA regional competition, we had 12 of our students medal in the categories of computers, automotive, and drafting. And the gold medalists are going to go to the state finals within the next couple weeks, I believe. In a few weeks, SLO High Theater will be featuring iambic pentameter Shakespearean plays put on by the students of our theater group. They will be held in the theater on March 19th through the 20th, the 26th through the 27th at 7 p.m., for those of you who are interested. Our county champ mock trial team beat Templeton recently and is going to the state finals. So that's something we're pretty proud of at our school. It's a first. Yeah, it was a big deal. So we're excited about that. And then we have our senior Disneyland trip, which is a gift for Mr. Jones for the juniors last year who did well on the statewide testing. And we're going to be going down to Disneyland on April 9th. And speaking of Mr. Jones, he just announced that he is going to be retiring this year. So it's a bittersweet moment, but we stand behind him in his decision. And then last but not least, we would like to give out a big thank you to the Teach Foundation for the teacher grants that they give to our teachers and teachers around the district. So thank you. And that's all I got.
Thank you. Amanda.
Hello, I'm Amanda Irons from Morro Bay High School. March 1st, which is today, our choir returned from New York after performing at the Carnegie Hall. So that was pretty exciting for them. They toured New York and had a great time. March 8th through 9th, sophomores will be taking their exit exams. Really exciting. Glad I'm not a sophomore. March 18th, we'll be having our annual Mock Rock. That is a variety show for those of you who don't know what a mock rock is. I encourage all of you to come out. It'll be quite entertaining. March 27th through the 30th, WASC will be visiting. And on the 27th, MBHS invites all the board and cabinet members to a meet and greet at the MBHS library. And you all have invitations in front of you. Angel, for coming to our winter sports banquet, almost called it winter formal, even though Mr. Angel did look like he could be going to a formal, just to let everybody know, he showed up to serve tri-tip in a white shirt and black bow tie. It was awesome. Our students greatly appreciated it. Congrats to our boys and girls basketball team, as well as our wrestlers, for securing the title of league champs, all of them. So we're very proud of them. One wrestler is still competing and will be attending a state meet. So good luck. Thank you, Mr. Russell Miller, for once again reserving the Cuesta pool for our swimming and diving team, because we do have to swim at Cuesta. No big deal. And on a high note, MBHS's APIs have increased to 826 in honor of a running tradition. MBHS will be traveling to Disneyland or Magic Mountain to reward their students for their hard work. So yay being smart. That's all I have to say. I'm going to Disneyland.
Well, thank you, Amanda. And as always, you're welcome to stay. If there are any issues that you'd like to discuss with the board or give input on, and we appreciated that you did that the last time, I think, or a couple of times ago. Of course, we also understand that you have other obligations, possibly homework and things like that, maybe some swimming. Feel free to go as well. But we always appreciate hearing from you guys, so thank you very much. Let's move on to the Laguna Middle School. And I understand we're not going to be able to hear about the Nobel Prize today, but Mrs. Frost does have some exciting stuff for us.
I do. I'm Diane Frost. I'm the principal of Laguna Middle School, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to discuss with you an outstanding program that we have on campus. Nobel Prize is certainly an outstanding program, but tonight I want to talk about mock trial. Over the last couple of years, Laguna Middle School has made a concerted effort to increase the opportunities we have for our students after school to enhance their learning. We've got a very popular Publications Club this year. We're publishing a newspaper. We've had Creature Crew in the past. We'll have that again this year. And this year we started Mock Trial, and we had an outstanding year. I have a couple of people up here who are going to share some of their experiences. I'd like up having 19 7th and 8th graders compete for Laguna Middle School this year. This is an example of the majority of our kids who participate, and they're actually at the Slo Courthouse right now. Go ahead. Our students met twice a week from September through February to work with our teacher coordinator, Mr. Eric Benitez, and volunteer lawyers. So we have a number of lawyers from the area who volunteer to work with our kids. And as we got closer to our competition in February, their meetings increased to 3 times per week. And this is 3 to 4:30. And these kids and the teachers and the lawyers were working solid the entire time. It was a huge commitment. When we competed, there were 7 middle schools who participated in the competition, many of whom have participated for the last several years. A couple of pictures for you. This is an example. These are our students in the courthouse waiting to compete. This is our prosecution team observing the defense team put on their argument. This is actually our defense team in action. We are literally in a courtroom in the courthouse. So you will see the kids dress the part, and they actually are in the areas where real lawyers are also serving during the day. During the competition, our lawyers who are directly in front in the picture are given feedback from the real-life lawyers in the background. This is our bailiff who's heading to his post. He's actually going to speak for you tonight. These are our kids preparing for trial. Laguna Middle School, this is our first time out, and you have to understand that this was a very big deal. We captured second place, and we lost by only 2 points to the reigning champions, Judkins Middle School. So we consider this a huge success for Laguna. Several of our students were even honored for outstanding performance. We were honored with the best defense attorney of all 7 schools. One of our students won as best pretrial attorney, and we had runner-up for best defense witness. So it was very, very impressive. Again, there's a group of our kids who had competed one evening. Again, same group. This is a much larger group that will show you all the kids who come. They all take many, many different parts. In this picture, you'll see that our coordinator, Michael Burrow, and our volunteer lawyer, Mike Holtzman, are present. Not pictured, we had a lawyer who has a child at our school, Rob Schultz, was critical to the success of our team.
We're able to communicate, critical thinking, speech development. It was just all around. It was a win-win situation for us. So I want to thank Mrs. Frost for bringing this to our school, and hopefully we continue to do that in the future. And who better to give an example that this the great, great, great students in here? Josh Dorman.
Good evening. I just want to say that the mock trial program I felt was a huge success. It gave all the students in the mock trial program opportunities to demonstrate acting and public speaking. And I just want to say that it was extremely fun, and we should do it again. Thanks.
Okay, and I'm Taylor McCrary, and I was just going to let you know that in that picture, we're all hitting Mr. B with a brick, because that's, like, the case. And it was... Mock trial was really fun, and it was really great to get second place, but now we have to hate Judkins forever. So, yeah.
Again, thank you very much for the opportunity to present this to you tonight. We consider this one of the outstanding programs that we offer at Laguna, and we really look forward to doing it for years to come. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Mrs. Frost and Mr. Benitez, and thanks to the students that came here. It was obvious that you already had some really good public speaking skills, and it sounds like it just made them all the much better. And I would suggest you channel that hate for Judkins into victory next year, something like that. Let's move on to the Teach Foundation grants. Terry Main.
Good evening. I'm very pleased to be here tonight to present the Spring Teach Grant Awards. This is an exceptional cycle for us. We actually are awarding 27 grants in the amount of $14,720. It's our largest grant cycle ever. We last year made a change. The Community Foundation actually helped us implement a pass-through fund, and that allows our donors to actually make their donations immediately available for grant purposes. Therefore, we've been able to increase the amount of our grant awards, and we're very thrilled.
We need to put a little more into math, so we're hosting a math festival put on by the California Mathematics Council, and you have a flyer, I think, in front of you about that. It's a really amazing program. We'll spend all day with our students doing hands-on math activities that build math concepts. Then after school, we'll do a professional development for the staff, and in the evening, we'll do a family math night, so the parents will get involved as well. I put on there the date, March 30th. It goes from 8:30 in the morning until 7:30 at night, and you're all welcome to join us. And I'm really grateful that the Teach Grant is there for us, because we couldn't do it without that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're your Los Ranchos Continuum, and I'm Carrie Lane. I'm lucky enough to be teaching third grade this year, and the grant that was proposed was that we would buy high-interest, low-vocabulary books for our children to promote the guided reading groups that are going on right now. So thank you, Teach.
Mary Lou Gooden, principal, and with your monies, we're going to purchase 12 mentor techs for the teachers who are expanding their knowledge and their skills. So it's really exciting because the techs are quite expensive, and it really helps us a great deal to have the money. We really appreciate it.
And I'm Jill Larson, teaching sixth grade at Los Ranchos, and we've been very involved in the Comprehensive Literacy Project, and we have a lot of fiction books, but really we need a lot of nonfiction books, and it's important to be knowing nonfiction more. And so we're grateful that the Teach Grant has given us money to buy a lot of different nonfiction texts, because that is what we read the most as adults, so we need to start practicing more with our students.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Connie Reynoso, and we're from Pacheco, second grade. And one of the grants that we got is for our ELD block, and it's going to be wonderful that we've added a guided reading section to it. So what we need now are nonfiction books that are more at their level, and that's what we're planning to do with some of your money. The second thing that I'm doing, the second grant that I got...
Hello, I'm Kelly Cook from CL Smith, and I teach fourth grade, and I received a really fun grant. We're going to do a gold rush day for all the fourth graders, and it'll involve panning for gold, weaving, dressing like pioneers, making lanterns, and just having the full experience of what it was like to live during those days. So we're really excited that the students will get to experience this, so I'm very thankful to teach.
My name is Lindsay Lopez, and we are teachers from CL Smith, and with the Teach Grant, we are buying Moby Views for first grade, second grade, 4, 5, and 4, and 6. And this technology just helps us engage the students more and allows us to interact with students in the classroom instead of being stuck up at the front with our current technology. So we're really excited to implement that into our classrooms. So thank you, Teach Grants.
Hi, my name is Katie Clearwater. I'm a third and fourth grade teacher at CL Smith, and the grant that we got today was for getting 2 more robotics kits for our robotics club. This is the second year that we've had the grant, and so adding these other kits really helps us to add more kids into the program and differentiate it so we can meet the needs of all the levels that we have at our school. So a couple of our kids wanted to come and show you the amazing robot that they've been creating and programming.
Hello. Like Mrs. Clearwater said, we are from Robotics Club, and in Robotics Club, it is a club where we create robots made of Legos, and we program them to perform certain actions. And for this robot, we programmed it to be slow, but very powerful.
Could you guys introduce yourselves to us, please?
Yes, I am Jared Hayes.
And I'm Brianna Chambers. And what we've done previously in other tasks that we've programmed our robots to do is we've programmed two robots to push against.
You can see it teaches a lot of problem-solving skills, too.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Thank you very much. That was great. We like those interactive things.
Whoops. That's going to be a tough act to follow. I'm Jennifer O'Hagan, and I teach ELD at CL Smith. And we have previously been using a supplemental program called Rosetta Stone, which is an online computer program that promotes language and vocabulary for our English learners. And due to budgetary constraints, we had to discontinue the program. But with the TEACH grant, I was able to buy a site license, not a site license, but a standalone version for our site for our students to use. So I'm really excited about that. Thank you, TEACH.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Judy Schneider. I teach kindergarten at CL Smith School. And this year, our kindergarten grew by 30%, a whole another kindergarten class. But our play yard did not grow. So consequently, we had about 72 five-year-olds. If any of you have ever had a five-year-old, you can imagine that, in a pretty small enclosed space. So we requested a grant to provide some more fitness and play activities for the kids, and these included balance boards and ring tosses and hula hoops and throw and catch devices and believe me, the kids are very excited about that, and the teachers are really grateful. Thank you so much.
Be the news about the newly formed Ballet Folklorico Club that we are going to be having at Laguna Middle School. It was recently awarded a TEACH grant, and we are very appreciative of that. Thank you to the TEACH Foundation and especially to Diane for being receptive to this idea. She was receptive from the beginning, and let me give you a little bit of background about this program. It began at Pacheco Elementary School. I am fortunate to have three children in the school district, one who went to Pacheco Elementary School, another great school with Mr. Mayfield and his wonderful staff, one of those great teachers at Pacheco. Maestra Vega introduced dance to the students, Ballet Folklorico. It was too good to keep at Pacheco. Some of the things that Ballet Folklorico does is brings cultures together, puts children that are not normally on front and center on a stage, front and center on a stage. So like we said, it was too good of a secret to keep at Pacheco. So thank you to the TEACH grant, because now at Laguna, we can dance Ballet Folklorico. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's me again. First of all, I received two grants. The first one is the Three Cups of Tea. Ms. Carlin and I would thank you for that grant. Three Cups of Tea is a wonderful book that we started reading a couple of weeks ago. You'll be surprised with all this access to technology, the kids really don't know much about other cultures at the present time. So it teaches about one person can make a positive change for many others. And that is one of our goals, is to teach this our students to they can be the change. The second grant is for the AVID as well, leadership conference that we attended in Anaheim last week. And part of the conference was also to guide these students to be better leaders in the community, in our schools. And that is what AVID is all about. So Ms. Erhan and I took the students, after we did some fundraising, to this conference, which was very successful and eye-opening for all of us. And that connects with the book, Three Cups of Tea, because part of the conference was to emphasize that you, every one person, can change the world for the better. Thank you again for this grant.
Those interactive notebooks on a test and to ask higher level thinking questions, and it's worked. For example, with these notebooks, they'll take notes, they'll do their homework in it, and they can use it during a test. And so because this information is before them, I can ask them questions such as, if the Japanese samurai were to go to battle with the Scandinavian Vikings, who would win and why? They've got the information before them. They have to present their arguments to me, and then I can grade them accordingly. So this year I spent about $250 of my own money because people just couldn't purchase them, and they need them to be successful. So I'm very, very grateful. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Susan Atkinson from Los Osos Middle School, and we received a TEACH grant last year for our Los Osos Fitness Training Center. We have equipment that we got about 6 years ago, and we're trying to just keep going with what our program is. It's more like a health club, so the kids get a chance to see what's their future's like, because fitness is lifelong. So if everyone could find their heart rate in their neck. Okay. So instead of having kids stop halfway through exercising and finding the heart rate and counting to six and adding a zero and finding a heart rate, we're looking to do heart rate monitors in our loft so that they just have to look at their wrist. They can check to see what their activity level is, and it's individualized. So if some people are in good shape, then they have to work harder to get their heart rate up, and some people are not that good of shape, they can monitor themselves, and then they make the adjustments. So we're getting heart rate monitors this year. We got weights last year. And I would invite you out to our open house, or anytime you'd like to come out and see our training center. We have weights, spin bikes, and lots of equipment to use for the kids. And this just helps us take the next step and add technology. So thank you very much.
Yeah, don't eat it when you get that tired.
Good evening. I'm Jed Brington from Los Osos Middle School, and I'd like to thank the TEACH Foundation for their grant. We used it to buy a variety of hand tools for the middle school kids. And I just want to clear up something that you see in advertising sometimes, where they'll say, you know, this product is heavy duty or tested under extreme conditions. That's nothing compared to tested with middle school kids. For what reason unknown to most of us, those kids can just break things so quickly.
The Morro Bay High School this last year, we inherited We're very excited to see that we inherited two fully functional large kitchens that were empty. So with the TEACH grant money, we're going to buy utensils and ingredients to cook with our students. It's a very, very valuable addition to our program. We have a lot of foster youth in our program. And when they transition into independent living, it's kind of an abrupt transition sometimes. So this goes a long way to giving them some really valuable skills. So thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Ava DeSanto, and I'm so happy to be here receiving this grant. I was fortunate enough to teach at Laguna for 8 years, and then I was transferred to the high school this year, and I'm actually very excited to be there. It's a great school, but I have inherited the blank walls. So I am now in the process of accumulating everything I need to make my classroom come alive with modern world history. So it's a new curriculum for me. I'm excited to teach it, though I love the curriculum. The students are fantastic. And my grant is I got a set of United Nations flags that I'm going to put up, but they also can come down easily. So I plan on using them as manipulatives and giving them to students. I also teach the English learner modern world history. So they're going to really make a place in my classroom. So thank you to Teach. I'm so happy to have it. Thanks.
Jim Thompson, physical education at San Luis Obispo High School. This is the third year that the Teach Foundation has supported our unit to sophomores in self-defense. And we bring in a black belt karate guy that comes in and does a terrific job of a week-long unit to all our sophomores. And this, like I said, this again, this is the third year, so we're very happy and appreciative to receive this grant. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Sharon Jeske. I'm the director of bands at San Luis Obispo High School. And I would like to show my gratitude to the Teach Foundation for helping us out with our spring trip. We are heading off to Fresno. Grant is helping us to do that. Thank you.
And there you have it. This is our spring grant awards, and I tell you, it's just such a delight to get those grant applications and read them, and we're thrilled because literally with the increased funds that we've been able to raise, we are doing a great job of being able to fund most of the requests. So I'd like to real quick just have Judy Philbin, our president, come up. She wants to tell you about a fundraiser we're doing in May. I know you guys have all been waiting to see what we're going to do next. So Judy's going to tell you.
Thank you. All right. I know, Chris, you like the interactiveness of the robot, so I'd like to make this a little bit interactive. And I would like everyone in the room to get out either whatever you set dates with, your smartphone, your iPod Touch, that napkin in the bottom of your purse, your calendar, and on March 14th, the Teach Foundation is sponsoring a fundraiser dinner.
March 14th?
Excuse me, May 14th. I do that all the time. Yeah, on May 14th, thank you, is going to sponsor a fundraiser. It's going to be a dinner along with a murder mystery. So we're winding the murder mystery in with the dinner. It's going to be very, very fun. It's going to be at Madonna Inn, and you will be receiving more information on that. But I would like to point out, and it's a troupe from Rio Grande who does this on a regular basis, and I'd like to point out that the Teach Foundation itself is really made up of about 8 really hardworking individuals. But the money, we all donate our time as well as our money. But this fundraiser really is dependent on you. Every single person in this room, every single parent, every single teacher, if you can't attend to spread the word, every single principal should be there or invite somebody. So I really encourage you to make this a complete success. We want at least 150 people there, and that will help us fund another cycle like this.
Did I forget anything?
May 14th.
Yes. May 14th.
And congratulations to all of the teachers. We're really proud to be sponsors.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, the murder mystery, it's Murder in Mind Productions in Rio Grande. You can see them at Spyglass most of the year, and it's going to be a spoof of the Sopranos TV series. So those of you Soprano fans, please come out and see your favorite characters in action. Yes, come in character. Okay, have
Great.
A good night. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Sounds like volunteer opportunities, too. Great. Thank you very much. We'll now move on to, actually, well, correspondence. The board did not receive any correspondence at this time. We did receive correspondence related to their closed session. So I'm going to wait just a minute until folks leave, and then I'm going to open it up for public comment. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and open the meeting to public comment. So if there's anybody who'd like to speak to the board in open session public comment, you can come on up to the podium and address the board for 3 minutes. Did you want to address the board?
Yes, I would.
Please, come on up. And just state your name and you'll have 3 minutes.
Very good. Thank you very much. My name is Mark Lebed. I am the community representative of the governing board for the Bellevue Santa Fe Charter School. I want to first, as always, thank the district for its continuing support of our little school. Our school has an extensive enrichment program, including an elective program, which is very varied and run by experts, local experts in the field, and also has a very strong theatrical department and visits the PAC in participation throughout the year. But what we're most proud of, and not most proud of, but proud of equally, is our off-campus experiential programs, which are scattered through kindergarten through the sixth grade. Two of the programs are multi-day programs. For the fourth, fifth is the Coloma Outdoor Discovery School, the Gold Rush program. And for the sixth grade, which is beginning next week, is the Catalina Island Marine Institute program. And I simply wanted to share this with you, so I prepared just some information into multi-day programs and also a schedule of our off-campus experiential programs, and just would like to leave this and ask you if you could look at it at your leisure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that, and we'll take a look at that for sure. Is there anybody else that would like to speak to the board in public comment? Okay. Is that Nancy back there? No, I guess not. Okay. I'm seeing ghosts. Let's move on then to the superintendent's update. Mr. Miller, status of the state budget, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The progress on kids, I think that one of the things that we would ask you to do, and I don't have the internet addresses in front of me, but there is a way to communicate to our two representatives, and I would ask that you send your wishes and your interests to be known to each of them for the purposes of hopefully influencing their votes in this issue. What needs to happen is the Republicans, three of them, need to cross to the Democrat side in terms of allowing for the vote to take place. It is clearly not a new tax initiative. It is clearly an extension of the current taxes which rest in place. If the vote is not allowed, or should it be allowed and the vote is not approved by the electorate, then what will happen is that there will be a significant impact to public education. For our particular district, the impact will be an additional $2.5 million of fair share of pain on top of the current $3 million that we're currently required to pay because the state of California has deficited the Proposition 98 guarantee funding that is supposed to be the floor of funding for public education. So Prop 98 was a constitutional amendment that the people of California approved, which gave minimum funding to education. That minimum funding has been deficited even lower than the statutory amount. And what would happen in the case of an unsuccessful vote on this tax extension, then that floor would be extended downward even further. Somewhere between 20% and 25%, there will be a $330 to $350 per pupil deficit attached to an already significant deficit. So we're looking forward to, one, the opportunity for the electorate to vote on it, and then hopefully the electorate would present a positive approval of an extension of the taxes. Essentially, that's what the whole issue in Sacramento is these days. One other significant issue which impacts schools, not necessarily a budget item per se, but it will affect us monetarily, is that the courts have found against CSBA's case that was asking the court to reverse the governor's decision not to fund some mental health issues responsibility in a situation where we've already been devastated by the budget cuts. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they go to sleep at night with the kinds of decisions that they've made. But so be it. We will rise as we always do. We'll find a way. We'll treat the situation, and we'll take care of our kids. But it sure would be a lot easier if the people got together and talked to their legislators about signing pledges that pledge not to do their job. I'd be interested to know if everybody who signed the pledge not to do their job gave their paycheck back. That would be my question to our politicians.
Any questions for Mr. Miller? I know there are several websites available that address, that will allow for the public to comment on the proposal to move the ballot initiative forward. Unfortunately, I don't know what those are right now. We're all shaking our heads, but I'm sure if you looked at probably legislature.ca.gov, I think that's the link to the California legislature.
CSBA has some CSBA contact too. On their CSBA.org.
Right, and that would be www.csba.org, and there may be one for, what is it? PTA probably has one as well. So, I'm sorry, what? CTA does as well. So please let your legislators know that you don't support additional cuts to schools, that you support children, and might remind them that they have taken a pledge and they need to do that as well. Dr. Prater? Well, we can give Sam's number. Want to give it out? Okay, before you go on, Dr. Prater, Mr. Angel would like to give out Senator Blakesley's office number so folks could call Senator Blakesley's office if they chose.
His office number is 549-3381. 805-549-3381.
Good evening. I put together some key thoughts as I share out the initiatives one more time. I just think it's really important that we keep this in front of us, and I wanted you to understand the input loop that we're using, and it's pretty amazing how much feedback we're currently getting. Hundreds of people are responding, and I'm just really excited about it. What I wanted you to know is that I did, in fact, do a video of clarifying what the initiatives are, and it is up on the website. The principals have given it out to their staffs, and it is out there, and parents are telling me they're watching it as well. I don't see myself of having a future in video broadcasting, but I just wanted to put it out there nevertheless. We've... Okay. We also have designed surveys at your request. We've modified them specifically for staff, for parents, and for students. I'll be working with a select group of students, sort of a random sample, if you will, on this. And I want to thank Rita Delkiskamp for spending probably a whole lot of midnight oil on that one, but she did a fabulous job of listening to you at the workshop and then reconfiguring the surveys. So I want to acknowledge her for that. I also want you to know I've spent a great deal of time with the principals and on this particular concept, and they've given us some wonderful feedback and continue to as we speak. I also want you to know that I've designed for March 7th and March 8th. I've designed or calendared forums where the staff can come and speak with me, both here in San Luis Obispo City and on the coast and at Los Osos Middle School, and the parents as well. So I have four different opportunities to gather that feedback. I've also, in fact, this Friday, I'm meeting with the PTA leadership group to review the initiatives and gather their feedback. We have plans to meet with our library staff and technology advisory group. I also have put together an advisory team myself, made up of community leaders, former board members, former superintendents, anyone that I have heard about or have seen out in the community that could offer some some sound advice in terms of these initiatives. And then also our departments. Our department directors have been working with their staffs and gaining their feedback. So it is a pretty amazing outreach to gather feedback and input. In fact, I had a teacher yesterday try to hand me, that will be a pretty substantial document. In addition to that, I also know that you're very busy people. So my team will work on synthesizing the feedback. And what we'll do is we'll try our best to capture the trends, the big ideas, and important concepts that are coming through the feedback and put it into a place that you can actually make sense of it and say, okay, I see how this is working. And through that, we will I'll bring it to you on the March 15th board meeting, and I'll ask you to basically comment one more time on the feedback and on those thoughts. My intention is to then revise the initiatives that reflect these big ideas and these concepts to give it to you back on April 5th and for your adoption. And I will meet with you individually as board members between the March 15th and the April 5th board meeting to get your individualized feedback and thoughts and comments. Okay, and that's how I see this working. The next steps, I want you to understand that that the budget process begins immediately. That's why we're pushing this so quickly, because it's just as important that we look at how we're going to allocate resources to these initiatives. Additionally, the board will weigh in on these recommendations to make sure that that these initiatives are supported properly and thoughtfully for not just next year but beyond, to complete that 5-year cycle as best as possible. In June, the board normally adopts its budget for the upcoming year, and this year will be no different. There'll be a lot of things going on, but I would like to encapsulate it by saying that all of those critical timelines that need to be met will still be met, but what will be different is we'll be looking at these initiatives as our focus. I don't want you to think that the initiatives themselves correspond to any particular the how. What we will do is we will develop specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely goals. We call them SMART goals with our team. And then we'll annualize the targets. So I've heard a number of people say, well, geez, how are we going to reach 92%? Of our students by 2015. I understand that. People rise to that challenge and make it work. I believe in people to do that. I really do. Additionally, what will correspond with that is a professional development calendar and our focus on those TCT days on Mondays, late start, which reflect those annualized targets and those SMART goals. So that's kind of our focus. So you know that what we're doing in our schools, what we're doing at our sites and in our district office reflect a common focus. Okay? We're not all doing identical things, but we're doing things towards a similar goal. Our nation is changing. What I see as concerning trends, if you will, in our district, poverty, I have to say, is a concern. More and more families are losing their jobs. More and more families are struggling to make ends meet. It just happened. Just one or two things happen in people's lives, and they find themselves lost, and they find themselves in a hopeless place. Schools become the glue and ultimately become the support system. And I believe that for us to focus on interventions, early interventions, and support systems throughout the grades, preschool through 12th, is a critical feature to addressing some of those needs. And I don't just mean academic interventions. I mean social-emotional interventions, linking families with services, or oftentimes the school itself is the support. So we have to be caring, thoughtful, aware institutions that understand our mission. These initiatives will help us achieve that. accountability for achievement can't be lost. One of my favorite sayings is all means all. That's a tough saying to really believe in, because it's a lot easier and more comforting to say, well, I hit 60% of my kids made it. What are we doing for the other 40%? And that's the driving question. And I think our hearts need to grow and our resolve needs to grow with it. And if we align our resources properly, all can truly mean all. I also think we have to really focus in on our skill sets and developing our instructional skill sets and our capacity as an organization to really truly meet the needs of our English learners. We have to focus. The college changes that factor exponentially. I do want to acknowledge that this classroom, this knowledge society, is changing the dynamics of the classroom. It's absolutely impacting. We heard it tonight from a couple teachers that they're going after the Mobies because it allows them to be in amongst the kids as opposed to in the front of the room teaching at kids. The technology today is really rapidly changing that allows the teacher to be a part of that process even more so. And so I also acknowledge that teachers need to be supported and they need the tools and they need the professional development to build their capacity. And we have to be really clear on that. Also, all students need to be encouraged to accelerate their learning, not just remediate their learning. And therein lies the difference. We really have to find ways to get kids super excited about excelling. And then we have to meet those demands educationally, and that's a really tough thing. These are the initiatives, and I just would like to read them to you only because I think here's our first opportunity in open session to really read them out loud, and I'd like to. Initiative 1, achieve substantial academic gains with our most at-risk population. Initiative 2, create an intentional culture of caring and acceptance. Initiative 3, develop preschool and pre-kindergarten transition programs. Initiative 4, strengthen district-wide English language arts program. Initiative 5, develop a world-class mathematics program. I'm getting a lot of feedback on this one from the community. Initiative 6, provide accelerated and specialized learning opportunities. Initiative 7, establish a data-rich culture. Initiative 8, create the classroom of the future. Initiative 9, empower professional groups in our district. And Initiative 10, increase access to college. This is what I just wanted to reiterate with you, and just so we're clear on how this is going to unfold, and I welcome any comments that you might have or feedback.
Chris.
Mr. Miller.
One follow-up point that's, I think, really essential for everybody to understand is the resources that are going to enable us to achieve these proposed initiatives. First of all, I don't think you can argue with any of the initiatives and their values to our kids. I think that, in fact, they beg for a plan to take a look at what our results have been and what our results need to be into the future. We've been very prudent in our resource accumulation and resource expenditures over the last several years. Everything from spending and recapturing money and holding on to it for a moment in time. One of my primary concerns was always, what are we going to spend this money on? And how will we justify spending it? And what I always told myself was, the moment will be known. Somehow we're going to understand that what we have, in fact, we have some very deep holes that we need to fill in. And we're going to be fortunate enough to have the resources to be able to take a look at all 10 of these initiatives through the last several years of prudent savings, cutting back on spending, having as our goal the protection of jobs, the protection of resources for kids. And we're going to be able to take a look at these 10 initiatives now and have resources to be able to address them. So when it comes time for that budget piece to take place, what we really need to have for a discussion is, as Dr. Prater develops his priorities, the board needs to come along and understand why those priorities are being developed and their comfort level of allocating resources to achieve them. So it's very hard to take the initiatives on
on the verbiage that's in front of you and say that's not important. Every single one of them is. What will is what Rick's always favorite saying is the devil's in the details. And as we look at these details, that's where the board has to clearly understand what's being asked of them, because this isn't a short-term fix. This is a long-term change in culture for San Luis Coastal Unified School District.
Dr. Prater, what time on the 7th and 8th are the community meetings?
The community meetings begin at 7, and I have them scheduled to go until 8, but I imagine they'll go longer.
And I believe the one on Monday is in San Luis. Is
correct.
That at Laguna Middle School? It's
right here in J2.
And then on the 8th, it's at Los Osos Middle School.
Correct.
At 7 o'clock as well.
And from 4 to 5, or as long as it takes, it's open to the staff members of our district.
Okay, great. Any comments from the board? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much, Dr. Prater.
You're welcome.
Let's move on then to item number one, Mr. Buckman, Santa Lucia Regional Occupational Program Board Meeting Report.
Thanks. The last board meeting was in January. It was fairly exciting. We did quite a few things. We need to understand just the overview of what ROP is, and it's there to ensure that our ROP classes, what we focus on it. Our ROP classes are targeted to meet the business needs of the future. So ROP, if we think of it, has four levels: teachers, community industry advisory committee, a district advisor, and the board of the. If they don't do that, there's a accountability issue here. And if they don't do that, then that classroom will not count towards the ADA of that district. And so that could cost the district that's involved some money. So we're really serious about this partnership with the industries and the businesses. But talking about ADA, it was really interesting to note that in the last year, the ROP enrollment is the highest that it's ever been. So this year there's 913 students participating in ROP, which is just phenomenal. And that carried over to San Luis Coastal, which also... In 09-10, we had 113 students. This year we have 208 students. This really has some significance for the whole entire ROP, because if there's any money left on the table around the state, those we have a JPA, or those ROPs in the state then that are doing well and are above their cap can recapture money. And it will bring more money into our ROP program. We are still flying under the radar with our online class. There are no ROP online classes in the state. We have now gone ahead and hired a teacher, and we'll be doing our first health career online class, which will allow students from Shandon and everywhere in the county to actually participate rather than trying to build little programs all over the county. The Skill Build USA program used to be hosted in Salinas and is now being hosted in San Luis Obispo County because of our interest. And I left with each of the board members a little sheet of the winners, and I know we got a preview of that during the students. But as I looked at this, of the programs that we had, 11 of the 17 competitions were won by San Luis District students, and if you included the silver medals, it was 14 of the 17 students. So pretty phenomenal activities going on here. And I'm just going to throw in a personal thing. As we go through our initiative process, I just want everybody to remember that there's 1,000 ROP classes and 4,000 CTE classes that qualify for CSU and UC A's and G's. And if you would pass this down to administration so they can't. That's the
Sillamar Leadership Conference with Jackie Kirk Martinez and Rita Delcascamp, which is a conference up in the Pacific Grove, Monterey Peninsula area. And one of the activities or one of the things we were able to do at the conference was to hear from school districts that are beating the odds in our own state, that have examples of students who were English language learners that now, by the time they reach high school, are are outperforming their English-only students. School districts where students in poverty, there is literally no achievement gap or very little achievement gap by the time they reach certain levels. Schools where high percentages, 80, 90% of students are qualifying in the UC A through G requirements. And a couple of the things I noticed about those successful school districts within our own state is that there was a lot, they were facing many of the issues that Dr. Prater talked about, but they all had superintendents who were resolute in what they needed to focus on, and they all had principals and school district leaders and school site leaders who had the moral imperative that they were commissioned to serve all students. And so with that in mind, we have a resolution in front of the board to our state legislature is designated next week as the week of the school administrator, and it's our recommendation that the board adopt this resolution because we do believe that leadership matters.
I'll take a resolution on that, or a go ahead. A motion. Thank you very much.
I move that we go ahead and pass resolution number 11-10-11.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second? Sure. Mrs. Roger can say. Okay, I'll go ahead and second this. Is there any discussion? Okay. Mrs. Holmes.
Mr. Angel.
Aye.
Mr. Unger.
Yes.
Mr. Questenberry.
Aye.
Mrs. Roger.
Aye.
Mr. Buckman.
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer.
Yes.
Passes 6-0.
Okay, let's move on to item number 3, a resolution in support of placing a revenue extension measure on the state ballot. And this would be resolution number 12-10-11. Dr. Prater, I think you and I are doing this one.
Yeah, President Unger, why don't you take it?
Sure. We're asking the Board of Education to support a resolution asking the legislature to support the revenue extension measure on the June ballot. And I think just some of the highlights that I think everybody here at this table is aware of, but I'd like to make the public aware of, and just be another $2 billion cut from the state budget for education, about $335 per student. If you think about that, for a district of 1,000 ADA, we're talking about $335,000. So for a district of 10,000 like Lucia Marr, we're talking over $3 million more cut, $3.5 million. It's a terrible thing to do to kids. It's a terrible thing to do to school districts. So we're asking that this initiative, that this resolution be passed. Also, I would ask that if the board does choose to pass this resolution, that we send it to all the local media. As always, we send a copy to the California School Boards Association, the offices of our legislators. I'm thinking also we probably want to send a copy of it to the PTA, CTA, and AXA as well, letting them know our support for this. So I would ask that we go forward. Is there a motion to approve this resolution?
Yeah, I would be honored and hopeful in moving support of resolution number 12-10-11.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Mrs. Roger and a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Is there any discussion? Mr. Angel.
I just, I beg our legislators to have, especially our two conservative legislators in the county, to have a little bit of courage. There was a piece in the LA Times today, yesterday, that talked about, is there legislative courage here in California? And I think our local representatives, both Mr. Blakesley and Mr. Cacho, I'm not going to butcher his name, need to have the courage to at least get out there and vote yes to allow the public to decide the future of our education system here in California.
Any other discussion? Mrs. Holmes.
Mrs. Roger.
Aye.
Mr. Questenberry.
Aye.
Mrs. Sheffer.
Yes.
Mr. Buckman.
Yes.
Mr. Angel. Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Passes 6-0.
Okay. Let's move on to item number 4, positive certification of adequate funding. And this will be presented by Julie Lang, Director of Fiscal Services. And before you start, Julie, I'm going to need to take off. And so okay. Mr. Angel will be assuming the presidential duties. And thank you. And thanks
thank
for
you.
The easily understood board agenda item.
Oh, just interim. Our revenues did increase by a little bit over $1 million. And next slide, we'll show you some details on that. Our revenue limit sources went up by about $305,000. This was entirely due to property tax adjustments. About $262,000 was unrestricted property tax, and about $42,000 was due to special ed property tax adjustments. Our federal revenue sources went up a little bit by about $26,000. Most of that was due to the Title I and Title I ARA funding. There was a decrease to some of our IDEA resources that offset that. And then if you look on in your agenda on pages 4.9 through 4.11, it shows all the detail of all the different adjustments that were made. So they totaled to $26,000. Our state revenues went up the most by about $704,000. We received $253,000 more in mandated costs than we had budgeted at first interim, which is always good news. The deferred maintenance increase is actually a coding correction. We had it coded as a revenue in and a revenue out, and it should have been a revenue in and an expenditure out. So you'll see that on your general fund summary as an additional transfer out of the general fund. This is the last year we'll be getting the special ed mandate settlement money. That's been budgeted at $36,530. We received math and reading professional development money. Last year was the first year we received that. We didn't put it in the budget for this year because we didn't know if this was going to be ongoing funding or not, but we did receive it. And the school safety money is actually some deferred money from last year that we'll go into more detail on the next page, but actually that's part of the basic aid reduction. So we kind of got it in and then it took it away again. The local revenue sources went down a little bit. The donations, the fees, and we had a revenue increase to our Central California Schools Financing Authority. Those increased, but then the interest we decreased and special ed revenues decreased to offset that. I wanted to go over this with you. This is the budgeted basic aid reduction. As you probably remember, we budgeted a negative $2,500,000 in our state revenues. And the way we actually are going to be reduced is through all these different programs. The biggest hit, about $850,000. And home to school transportation, SIP, and instructional materials, that's 100% of the funding that they're using to offset the basic aid reduction. EIA is a little bit under a third of the total amount we'll get, and then the professional development block grant makes up the difference. So fortunately, we had that budgeted, so it doesn't affect the ending balance, but I just wanted you to know where they're taking that money. Our expenditures also increased from first interim. The certificated salaries, classified salaries, and benefits all went up, and that's due to some of those professional development funds that we got, as well as we budgeted 100% of the program budgets at the site, so they were able to budget more in their salary codes. And you can see in books and supplies, that's been moved around. That's where we have our holding accounts, so that's where they budget. We had a change in our unappropriated ending balance, but not a huge change. It's about $38,000, and as you can see, all these things make up that $38,000. We had some increases in our taxes and mandated costs, but then we had some decreases due to contributions, and every time we increase our expenditures, we have to increase our 10% for economic uncertainty, so that increased. So the total came to about $38,000. And then finally, in our multi-year projections, we use the school services DART board to project categorical revenue changes over the years. You can see that our federal revenues are projected to go way down next year because we're going to be losing all that ARA money. State revenues, I did not include any mandated costs in 11-12 or 12-13, and that's why that went down a little bit. And local revenues down a little bit too because there's some of the PEG funding and the Microsoft voucher funding that is either going to decrease or we've already spent. And salaries are budgeted only on step and column increases. Benefits include an 8% increase to health and welfare, and then employer-paid PERS is supposed to go up. So that's increased to 11.2% in 11-12 and 11.6% in 12-13. And then you can see our materials and supplies, operating expenses, and capital outlay have all been decreased due to the fact that our revenues are also projected to decrease. But
we're looking for a motion.
I'll move to accept the positive certificate of adequate funding resolution 13-10-11. Second interim financial report.
Okay, and I'll second.
Ms. Holmes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Mr. Angel?
Yes.
Mr. Questenberry?
Yes.
Passes 5-0.
Okay, so moving on to I should ask for discussion, but I guess not. All right. Moving on to item 5. Mr. Robinette. Sorry about that.
Yeah, this is a request to allow me to bring our district office staffing, administrative staffing, back to the original place when you hired me back in July. And unexpectedly, as you all know, Dr. Matakovich decided to retire. And with all of the best of intentions, we really believed that we could make a run by collapsing the director of personnel and the assistant superintendent position into one position. And we've given it the best shot. And it has fully exhausted Mr. Robinette. And I recognize that. And so by looking at our initiatives, by looking at our school district and the manner in which it's functioning, which is at a high level, I really feel that as we go into 2011-12, by refocusing, restructuring the central office administration to align with the initiatives that I anticipate that you will adopt, what I propose in this in a short way to sort of abbreviate the summary is to take the director of adult education position with the principal position of Pacific Beach High School and collapse that into one position. The director of secondary learning and achievement would allow for, and that would be targeted for Rita, would allow a much heightened focus on middle school and high school, especially in light of those initiatives, and it would provide a greater level of support, targeted support, for both our site principals and our staffs at those sites. And that's a real piece that I see missing. And then I'm asking that we bring back our director of personnel. Now by doing that, it frees up Mr. Robinette to really focus in on the initiatives and develop the capacity of our site leaders and develop the capacity of our district office leadership to really get out there and be student-centered, staff-centered, to really support the learning and achievement of our district. So what I'm asking you to do tonight is to allow me to bring back the director of personnel with some restructuring that allows for these initiatives to really take some measured success. Also, I anticipate right around the corner, 2013, for the national standards, the core common standards, California has approved them, has adopted them. And what comes with that is a whole lot of transitional detail that is administratively related. So adoption process, there will be a lot of professional development training involved to make sure that it doesn't fall on the classroom teacher, so it doesn't fall on the site principals where they're already working on improving their sites to the best of their abilities. So I see this as a wise move, a nice adjustment based on the observations I've made and the direction I see us going to. So for that, I'm asking to allow me to restructure our central office.
Actually, I'm very excited about this. I'm particularly pleased with seeing the split between the K6 and the 712. I'm pleased that Mr. Robinette's home life and will survive. And the development of the director, Deputy Director of Student Services, and taking on that that role to work with the at-risk students. I do have just one challenge that I have a question about, and it's just as we're going to, it's necessary to reach 92% to care for all kids, and the answer that I'm hearing is yes, we're going to put those resources in place. With the changes that we're going to see at the district office, there's going to be resources needed at that in those changes as well, and I just want to make sure those are being taken into consideration.
Yes, and as we unfold this, I think as we go through the budget development process and we meet and we go through the interview process, what will end up happening when we design these SMART goals, I think what will end up coming is what will emerge will be what are the support needs there to maximize support at the sites. So that will be forthcoming, I'm sure.
And maximize support at the district office.
I would like to say max by support at the sites.
Okay.
And use this system and this structure to hone our energy at the sites. Yeah.
Other questions? I like the idea. What I'm seeing from your style is that you're on campus quite a bit more, just taking in the sites, and I hope that having more support at the district office will free you up to continue being at sites throughout your tenure here in San Luis Obispo.
Thank you,
so,
Phil.
Looking for a motion? Is that what we're looking for?
Do you need
have
action on this?
Yes.
I'd be...
Let's go, Mark.
I'd be honored to make the motion on this. I think it's going to be really good for the students and staff.
Second, Marilyn?
Well, I had my light on for a comment,
please, sorry.
A comment and then a second.
Okay.
In splitting the educational services, which we're now calling
Learning and Achievement.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Into two people, do you anticipate additional clerical needs?
Yeah, I do, but I'm looking at our clerical needs at the site now, and I'd like to wait until we get our Director of Elementary Learning Achievement hired, and then I'd like to have that new hire along with Rita Delkiscamp come together and say, what are the needs, and have them together present me with a proposal based on what they think they're going to need. But with our breakthrough coaching model, both of these positions are going to require some clerical help. Yes. You know, who we currently have at the district level, and we're going to see if we can consolidate.
Shift people around.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I just would hope that at the sites, as we increase expectations that we'll be providing the additional support, including clerical support, that they'll be needing.
Yeah.
Just a comment. And that said, I will second the motion to, what is this?
Page 5.3.
The motion made for approval of administrative restructuring plan to align with the board initiatives.
Excellent. I have a motion and a second. Do I have further discussion, Mr. Quisenberry?
Well, just to make sure that the teachers and the classified staff understand that this is going to be part of the initiative process. They're going to see these folks out on the sites. They're going to interact with these folks. They're going to be helpful in achieving the initiatives. That's really important.
I'm 100% in agreement with that, and that's the expectation.
Further comments? Questions? OK, Okay, then all in favor of passing this? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Carries 5-0. Item number 6, Dr. Prater. Or Ms. Holmes.
What we're looking for here is there's two seats for Region 9C, and they have staggered terms. And we're basically, Tammy Gunther's term is expiring, and she has been nominated for re-election, and no other nominations were received. So we're looking for support in that.
Comments, questions?
I'd like to make the motion. I've worked with Tammy for the years that she has been a delegate. I've just never seen anybody work as hard as she does and put her heart into it. And even though she's running unopposed, actually, the fact that she is running unopposed, I think, states very highly of the work that she's done. So I would move that we, as a board, support Tammy.
As the board is probably aware, we do our personnel commission does classification reviews of various job families within the classified service on a very regular basis, and that is their purview. And the board very rarely gets involved in that process. But when there's money concerned, you do have to get involved because you carry the purse strings. Our personnel commission just finished a review of the library job family and is not making any recommendations for significant changes. I mean, there's some significant changes in job duties, but nothing with regard to salary or salary placements. However, it became very apparent as we were looking at these the classifications of library and media center technician. These individuals primarily are elementary school librarians, and that they are routinely volunteering 1, 2, 3 days of their time before school starts, primarily to set up labs, to get teacher schedules in place, to do some troubleshooting, to basically make their libraries available for students and staff. And these are hourly employees. They don't need to be volunteering. Our personnel commission is recommending that they have 2 additional days of work added to their schedule to make it 182 from a 182 day work year to a 184 day work year, and the cost is about $4,000. So we are asking the board to support the personnel commission's recommendations for this. Would be for the following school year, for the to begin in the 2011-12 school year.
Ms. Shepherd?
I'm a big fan of the work our librarians do. They work really hard. They provide a huge service to our students and support the teachers at the sites. I would be happy to move to accept the classification review for the library job family.
That's a motion, so we need a second.
I'll second the motion.
Any further questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay, now item number 8. I'm so anxious to get out of here. Approval to pay board member salary for permissible absence. So by him lobbying, he's out there trying to get us $3 million, $5 million
at least.
Okay, excellent. So
I'll move approval of item 8.
I'll second that. All in favor? Or any further discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Carries 5-0. Oh, carries 4-0. Item, okay, so action consent agenda, asked to pull if you'd like anything pulled. Item number 9, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item 10, approval of quarterly report on uniform complaint filings, the Williams settlement. Item 11, acceptance of donations. Item 12, disposition of surplus property.
I wanted to pull 9 just for a question.
Okay, excellent. Item 13, approval of furniture and equipment requests. Item 14, approval of purchase orders. Okay. And item 15, approval of warrants and payroll. Okay, so we have 9, 12, and 14 pulled, so I need a motion on items 10, 11, 13, and 15.
Move approval of items 10, 11, 13, and 15.
And do I have a second? All in favor of approval of items 10, 11, 13, and 15? Aye. All opposed? Abstentions? Passes 5-0. Item number 9. Let's go back here. What is that?
This is the regarding, and I think Rick can answer this for me, the additional math teachers at Morro Bay, Laguna, and Los Osos. Is that because of increased class sizes and like the algebra classes, or is this in a response to something like that?
Partially, but not so much the increased class sizes, but our desire to decrease some of the class sizes to provide more intervention. We asked the teachers at all four of our comprehensive secondary schools to identify where they had some needs for intervention services in their students. We used some of our ARA jobs money and have provided, for the most part, as you see, math intervention sections. And it has resulted in some division of some classes, but some actual...
Marilyn, you have your light?
Oh, well, we'll let Jim move
approval. I'll move approval of item 9.
And second, and any further discussion? All in favor of approval of number 9?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Item 9 carries 5-0. Marilyn, you pulled number 12?
I pulled item 12, disposition of surplus property, because I was utterly dismayed to see that the IBM Correcting Selectric 3 typewriter, the one I learned on, the one I consider to be the gold standard, is being requested for disposal, and it's not even broken.
Well, I won't term it as an antique in deference to your having learned on it, but it is an unusable piece of equipment at this point in time.
Is that the one with the little ball in it there?
It is, oh, which those of us in the know refer to as the element. In any case, that said, I will move approval of item 12.
And a second, I'll say, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, this will evidently come up on Craigslist, so we will all chip in and buy this for you.
I want one for my coffee table, okay. And really, I understand it far better than my computer.
Is that what we do? Put it on Craigslist? All right. I'll second approval of item 12. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Poor typewriters. Carries 5-0. Item 14, Mark?
Purchase order.
14. Oh, man.
Okay. This the only reason I pulled this is I thought I was fairly technological savvy, and I know some Macs and I know some PCs, but I had to call Amelia because I had never heard of an Airy computer, and she did explain it to me, and she gave me permission to sort of explain this. So the Airy computer is going to be used in support of the data director. And each site is planning to get one, and it's... Am I doing well, Rita?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to go...
It's news to me also.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. If I remember...
All opposed? Carries 5-0. We're not out of here yet? Okay, item 17, advance agenda.
initiatives?
No items for advance agenda?
Yes. Possible look at the district cell phone policy.
Okay.
We don't have one?
Yeah, well, we do have many different types.
What I call electronic signaling devices.
Is it, are you looking for board policy or?
Well, there are site policies on this, and I assume that they were.
Student use then?
Yes.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Student use of cell phones.
Okay, that's specific. Very good. Thanks.
So do we have a?
I'd have a. I'll support that.
You'll support that. Coming back on.
You know, it might best serve your interests if we just put it out in a Friday update in terms of what the policy says, and then if you have questions, concerns, the issues, there might be a further discussion.
Well, this kind of relates to what I'm going to do when I talk about my report. So it has to do with an initiative from the students at Pacific Beach, and I thought they would like to make a board presentation. We can wait until they're ready for that, or
well, that might even work out better. We'll give you the information in a Friday update. They make their proposal or whatever it is that they want to do, and then you guys have a basis for understanding what they're talking about.
Okay, so there's no need to agendize it right now?
There might be. I'm not quite sure of the interest, but I think the first interest is to develop the base of information.
Okay.
And then let the students talk, and then you guys, after the students talk, could see if it's an agendized item or not.
Very well.
12 placeholders? Or not yet? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other advance agenda? All right. Reports by board members then.
I want to hear his.
Oh. Mark has his light on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll make it in the 3 minutes easily. I was out visiting sites on PTA business and walked into Del Mar last week and witnessed exactly what we say about school secretaries on a regular basis. These are the most amazing people. As I walked in, they were dealing with someone in the community who had called in whose student didn't go to Del Mar, went to the state running the community 911 service. And I was amazed. And so I'd like to send out a thanks to Lori Valens and Elizabeth Rose because I thought they just did an excellent job.
Alan?
I just wanted to say that last Friday I attended the San Luis High School play, Still Fighting It. And it was a real pleasure. It was a great treat. Students did a wonderful job. They had a student choreographer. They had the director. The students had grown very fond of the director over the course of this year. A new director to our school, and it was a wonderful event to attend. I also wanted to point out a couple of thoughts I had tonight watching some of the presentations, and one had to do with the involvement of our entire community with our schools, and I thought of that during the mock trial. I attended several nights of watching mock trial at the courthouse, and I think that Mrs. Frost pointed out the involvement of attorneys in our community, but also she didn't mention that while the students are doing their presenting their cases, that they also are presenting them before actual sitting judges for the most part. Some attorneys as well who act as judges, but many of the judges in our community, our Superior Court commissioners and judges, take their time to learn the rules for mock trial, they're pretty complicated, and to they already have heavy caseloads during the day to come out at night, and I think that's really admirable because many of these folks never have had kids who are students in our district, but they take the time to support this. So it's a wonderful opportunity for the community to help show support for our students. And also another kind of community-related event that made me think about how we all come out. Many, many people from the community come out to help families in crisis was or in need. I attended a fundraiser Sunday for Zona Torres, who has had children and kids in the district at all anymore out there barbecuing, and but they've been part of this school community. And it was quite moving to see teachers, retired teachers, people just stepping up to help a San Luis Coastal District family. So it's a great credit in these times that we're able to pull together around families and students in our community.
Thank you. Board report, Mr. Q?
Well, I've had a pretty busy few weeks. Went to C.L. Smith. Amy Shields, the principal, was nice enough to take me around the campus, and it was a great experience for me. It's a very, very busy place. I had a chance to look in on several classes, actually on almost all grade levels. I was able to witness differentiated instruction, full inclusion of special needs students, and reading recovery and ELD class, and it was inspiring. It was really a wonderful place. It was a Monday. Things were running amazingly, to me, smoothly for all the activity that was going on, all the different levels, including a preschool that's on the campus. So for me, it was very edifying, and it opened my eyes to just what goes on at an elementary campus. Phil Angel and I had a chance to meet with Senator Blakeslee. We had a chance to kind of talk to him about some of our concerns. There were several board members there from Paso Robles, Templeton, Lucia Mar, Cayucas, I believe one from Shandon, and pretty much were in agreement that the need to extend the current taxes and to put the issue on the ballot for June. I had a visit at Pacific Beach on the 18th of last month of February. I actually had visited there before with Chris Dollar, and he was showing me all of his data that he's gathered on graduation rates and the number of credit students complete and so forth, and that was very, very intuitive. And I have to report that several of them said that they were on track to graduate this year. So that was wonderful. The kids had great questions. We had a really worthwhile discussion about cell phone policy, cell phone use, the inconsistency, perhaps, from various sites. They did a little homework. They did a little research. So they were very knowledgeable. And I tried to explain to them the in loco parentis part of how teachers and administrators have to act as a parent in that place. And so their responsibilities, and then how we would balance that with their possible use for cell phones, you know, as far as a research tool and so forth. So they're working on this, and they're going to try to come up with some proposal and some presentation to the board, and it was great. I also went to a lot of sporting events, Morro Bay boys and girls varsity basketball games, went to the league wrestling finals, and I do want to mention that Peggy Flynn, who is one of our teachers, was working that, as well as a person who from the community who always steps up, Donnie Domagini, to help out with these kinds of events. And I just wanted to mention, too, that on that day, it was a Saturday, that I happened to go by and see Sherry Wright, the drama teacher there, and I forgot to write down his name, but one of the district classified employees moving, and some students, moving the sets for her next play, which is going to be Into the Woods. And this is just an indication of the number of hours that drama teachers, band directors, coaches, all those folks put in in order to put on their games and their productions and so forth. So, thank you.
All right. I also had the I have to apologize to Morro Bay High right now. I didn't go to a basketball game all year, and they had one of their best seasons, both the boys and girls. So I said, you know what? I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I'll go to a game. Went to the boys. I apologize. They lost. So then I said, I couldn't be me. So I went to the girls. They lost. So I apologize right there. But they both played their hearts out. It was great games. I visited Pacheco not as a dad like I normally do. I visited as a board member, sat in the teacher's lounge. That was today. A lot of positive comments on the 21st century, or on the 21st century classroom, but on the initiatives also as well. A lot of talk on technology today, though. And then I want to remind board members, tomorrow is Read Across America Day, Dr. Seuss's birthday. I know I'm going to read about the Sneetches at in a first and second grade classroom at Pacheco. I think it ties into our whole circle of caring. If anybody's read Sneetches, it's a great book. It's the star, the stars on the belly. Anyway, it's a great book. Yeah, it's my level right there. If anybody wants to get out there and read, call an elementary teacher. I'm sure they'd love to have you. And if you can't go tomorrow, go a different day, and you can borrow my Sneetches book. I'm telling you, it's a great book. It's better than Green Eggs and Ham.
Well, I feel like I should make a report, but I think I haven't done anything or been anywhere. I think I've just been working and going to the various meetings that are scheduled for me, but I'll try to be a greater presence on the school sites, and I admire those of you who have been able to devote so much time. It really shows how much all of you care, my fellow board members.
Looking at the earlier February minutes, I believe you went to a bunch of schools, and so you put us on a notice, Marilyn, that I was like, look where Marilyn's been. I got to get out there. So I believe we're adjourning because we like each other so well. We'll see you guys on Monday.